When she was 12 years old, Lisa ran away from home and was picked up by the police and returned. After she ran away again, Child Protective Services stepped in, and she spent the next 6 years in mental hospitals, shelters, group homes, foster families, and on the street. No placement lasted because Lisa was so dissociated and self-destructive that she terrified her caretakers. She would attack herself or destroy furniture, and afterward she would not remember what she had done, which earned her a reputation as a manipulative liar. In retrospect, Lisa told me, she simply lacked the language to communicate what was going on with her. When she turned 18, she matured out of Child Protective Services and started an independent life, one without family, education, money, or skills. But shortly after discharge, she ran into Seaburn, who had just acquired her first neurofeedback equipment and remembered Lisa from the residential treatment center where she had once worked. She'd always had a soft spot for this lost girl, and she invited Lisa to try out her new gizmo. As Seaburn recalled, "When Lisa first came to see me, it was fall. She walked around with a vacant stare, carrying a pumpkin wherever she went. There just wasn't a there there. I wasn't ever sure that I had gotten to any organizing self." Any form of talk therapy was impossible for Lisa. Whenever Seaburn asked her about anything stressful, she would shut down or go into a panic. In Lisa's words, "Every time we tried to talk about what had happened to me growing up, I would have a breakdown. I would wake up with cuts and burns, and I wouldn't be able to eat. I wouldn't be able to sleep." Her sense of terror was omnipresent. "I was afraid all the time. I didn't like to be touched. I was always jumpy and nervous. I couldn't close my eyes if another person was around. There was no convincing me that someone wasn't going to kick me the second I closed my eyes. That makes you feel crazy. You know you're in a room with someone you trust. You know intellectually that nothing's going to happen to you. But then, there's the rest of your body and you can't ever relax. If someone put their arm around me, I would just check out." She was stuck in a state of inescapable shock. Lisa recalled dissociating when she was a little girl, but things got worse after puberty. "I started waking up with cuts, and people at school would know me by different names. I couldn't have a steady boyfriend because I would date other guys when I was dissociated and then not remember. I was blacking out a lot and opening my eyes into some pretty strange situations." Like many severely traumatized people, Lisa could not recognize herself in a mirror. "I never heard anyone describe so articulately what it was like to lack a continuous sense of self. There was no one to confirm her reality. When I was 17 and living in the group home for severely disturbed adolescents, I cut myself up really bad with the lid of a tin can. They took me to the emergency room, but I couldn't tell the doctor what I had done to cut myself. I didn't have any memory of it. The ER doctor was convinced that dissociative identity disorder didn't exist. A lot of people involved in mental health tell you it doesn't exist. Not that you don't have it, but that it doesn't exist.